The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Eric is a busy man. In fact, he's so busy that he rarely has time to eat lunch in the studio. But after the show, Eric wanders out into Central Park where a magic raven comes to feed him bits of bloody raw beefsteak. Isn't that amazing? And now, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. I hate it when people know my my eating habits.
Yes,
it's,
I know.
It's too personal.
It is.
It's nobody's business that an angel feeds me bloody raw beefsteak in the park. It's nobody's business.
An angel.
And Todd, I will thank you not to mention that anymore. Oh. Okay, so I thought it was a raven. Okay, so now listen. We are, today's Monday. This is hour one of the program. Anybody listening right now knows that what happened this weekend, these shootings, was so horrific that they bear mentioning. I don't know about you, Albin, but this people often ask me, hey, how was your weekend? In many ways, my weekend was terrible. Mm. And having nothing to do with the shootings, apart even from that, I just felt sick. Sometimes, you know, you get, I don't know, just run down or something like that. And people know, I've said this publicly, I deal with depression, and it usually comes in when you're really exhausted. So I had a very crummy kind of weekend, let me just put it that way. But sometimes, and this ties into the theme that I wanted to share with these shootings, sometimes God's mercies are severe mercies. And I realized that if the scripture says, now I'm speaking as a Christian, if you're not a Christian, I think it's still true, but you're not going to believe this, or maybe it bears more explanation. But in the scripture it says, all things work together for good for those that love the Lord and are called according to his purposes. Now, that could be really offensive to somebody. They say, oh, all things work together for good, like the Holocaust and mass murders. And well, yes. In other words, even things that are evil, God can work together for good. In other words, God is a redeemer, and he can redeem the most horrible things.
Yes.
And so you have to understand that that doesn't mean that they're not horrible. That's precisely the idea. You can only redeem what is evil and horrible. Other things don't need redemption. So in the case of my misery this weekend, my personal misery, it drove me closer to God. And I think that anytime anybody's suffering, one of the natural reactions would be to take God more seriously, or to pray harder, or to speak to him more earnestly than you would if everything's fine. And this Sunday morning, waking up, reading of this this other shooting, the night before, I was with a friend, and I thought 19 people were shot, and then I realized, no, 19 people were killed, and then 20 people. Like, it's one of those things that you just think, God, no, this is so horrible. And then the next morning to read, you know, about the other shooting, and you think, it's so horrible that anytime anybody has a flippant answer to it, like we need more gun control laws, or it's these stupid white supremacists and it's Donald Trump's fault, or anything like that, you say, you know what, folks, there is a time to shut up. Like, there's a time not to have an easy answer, you know. It's somehow, what's the word? It just strikes me as untoward, and I guess it just strikes me as there's simply a time to be quiet. But the horror of it was so profound that as a man of faith, I thought, what am I to make of this? You know, what am I to make of this? And I guess what I came out with, and I put this on Twitter, I said, look, let's be blunt. The spirit of murder and mass murder, this is the spirit of Antichrist. This is satanic evil. Now, there are people out there who don't believe in satanic evil. They don't believe in God. And so they have to come up with some human thing or whatever it is. But to me, something this evil has to be called evil. It has to be called, in other words, it's got nothing to do with left and right. It has nothing to do. And to my mind, anybody who frames it that way is somehow participating in it. In other words, when something that horrible happens to human beings, to families, really to politicize it in any way, it becomes, as I said, unseemly. And so I tweeted out that, and then I said something like, is it possible that I'll find my actual tweet so I can read it verbatim. But I thought to myself that you have to wonder, when something this horrible happens, if God has not allowed it. Now, you have to say allowed it, right? Because this is God's, not God's will, but it's his permissive will. He allows evil in this world. There is evil in this world. There's murder and sickness and death and whatever. And so he allows these things just as he allowed the Holocaust. And that challenges a lot of people's faith. And of course it should, because it's very confusing theologically. But I wrote, mass murder is demonic. This is on Twitter. Mass murder is demonic, coming from the pit of hell. In what shape it manifests itself is secondary. The only real solution for it is Jesus. Mental health screenings and gun laws are very important. But do not miss the big picture. We fight not against flesh and blood. Let us pray. So the idea that, oh, I can blame Trump, or I can blame this, or I can blame that. It's like, folks, blame the devil. This is satanic evil. He doesn't care how he does it. Then I wrote, the spirit of mass murder is the spirit of Antichrist. Instead of pointing fingers at each other and sharing in that foul spirit, let us turn to God in repentance. Can it be that he, God, has allowed this evil so that we will return to him in prayer and repentance? Hashtag Jesus, hashtag severe mercy. So I put that on Twitter. Now, I think when I put that out there, I knew that someone would misinterpret it as though I'm saying, hey, God made this happen to make us pray, right? And that is, I would say, at least a slight misinterpretation of what I'm saying. But I know that when you say that God allows things, this is a New Testament, in the Old Testament, God does this all the time, right? He brings his judgments in order to bring people back to himself.
Right.
But when it happens to us, we say, well, that can't happen to me. That, how dare God, you know, allow that? And you think, well, wait a minute. God is not evil. But if he takes his hand away for a femtosecond, evil falls. And so I guess I thought, is it possible that the tremendous evil of these shootings is to wake us up to say something is wrong with our culture? No, it's not just gun laws or mental health screenings or all that. No, there's something deeper. And when I put this out there, I almost felt like I'm putting out a bait, you know, and sure enough, somebody who writes a blog for patheos.com, he calls himself the happy atheist, although in the blog in which he talks about me, he doesn't sound all that happy. And he kind of took my bait, and he comes out there and like, how can you say this? Da, 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 da. And, you know, he sounds very angry, not happy at all. He should try to sound more happy. But I thought, listen, this is a biblical principle that we live in a broken, fallen world and that we don't deserve God's mercy and we don't deserve anything. And I thought things have gone so far in this culture that there are people who will be woken up by this. There are people who will say, you know what? I need to get my life right with God. I don't know if I could be taken tomorrow with somebody, crazy person's bullet. And I simply think that when tragedies happen, 9/11 happened, obviously the Holocaust is the most dramatic example within the last century, that when evil happens, it strikes people in such a way that they think about the big questions. They say, wait a second, is this just a phenomenon in the world, or is God, is there such a thing as supernatural good and supernatural evil? Are we living in a world where there is a God who wants us to turn to him? And I guess I wanted to say, ultimately, I really think the only solution for these kinds of things, that doesn't mean we don't try everything else, but the only solution is general repentance. In other words, there are tons of people listening right now who are Christians who there's sin in their lives and they know it. And I think we have to repent. And we have to pray and cry out to God and say, God, make us the people that you want us to be so that these things cannot happen. There are a lot of estranged human beings out there, young men that feel cut off from the culture. What is happening in the culture? So I know that that can strike some people as offensive in some ways, but I thought I ought to say it anyway, and I hope the happy atheist will think more deeply about this than he already has. When we come back, we're going to discuss the shootings more with our friend John Zmirak. Folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. Stick around. Tiny Dancer. I'm Eric Metaxas. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. Albin, before we bring in John Zmirak.
Okay.
When things get tough, we bring in Zmirak.
We have to.
We were talking a moment ago about the shooting, the shootings, and how evil it is. And I have to process it as evil. It's to try to look. Anyway, we'll talk to Zmirak about it. But I always say that one of the ways that we can do what I call spiritual warfare is by doing something good. If you want to fight the devil and you want to fight evil, do something that's good. One of the ways you could do that is by giving to Food for the Poor. We always do campaigns with different organizations, and this month we're doing one with Food for the Poor. And I think that, you know, we all have to do something. We have to give out of our ability to give to those who are really suffering. And so there are different opportunities. Sometimes people give through their churches or synagogues or at work, whatever it is. But here's an opportunity to give. You can go to our website. It's metaxastalk.com, and you can give to Food for the Poor. What is happening? There's a crisis in Central America right now. Tremendous, tremendous crisis. We'll be talking about this all month. We'll have people on. Actually, at the end of the program, an hour or two, we'll hear from the head of Food for the Poor. He talks about this a little bit. But I just wanted to say that before we go to John Zmirak to talk about these horrible current events, if you give, we always want to thank you somehow, right? So anybody who gives. Now, by the way, when you give, this is about feeding families, kids. They're really struggling. These are in places like you know, they're most of them displaced from Venezuela. I don't need to tell you why they're running out of Venezuela, because there's no food there. But then, you know, then they're trapped in Colombia. There's no food in Colombia. These people are suffering. Okay, yeah. And wherever you stand on the immigration debate, we're supposed to help people who are suffering as we're able to do that. I know that Food for the Poor is doing that in these places. So if you want to help, please give generously. Go to metaxastalk.com. Food for the Poor provides 2,500 meals for every $100. Now, that just goes
incredible.
To show you that they leverage everything that they do. They get huge donations of rice and beans and, you know, those kinds of staples, and they're able to leverage it. So I want to ask you if you can give whatever you can give. If you give, we want to thank you for your gift. So no matter what amount you give, $10, any amount you give, you get a chance to win our grand prize. At the end of this month, someone will win three signed copies of Donald Drains the Swamp, three signed copies of the new book, Donald Builds the Wall, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
You'll get signed copies of all my books, Miracles, If You Can Keep It, Bonhoeffer, Martin Luther, Amazing Grace, Seven Men, Seven Women, signed copies of all them. We'll throw in even more stuff. We'll have a couple of Zmirak books in there. We want to really bless you. So that's the grand prize. Anybody who gives anything to Food for the Poor, anything, you will get a chance to win the grand prize. So if somebody gives $200, for every $50, you'll get another chance.
That's four chances.
So you'll
chances.
Get four chances to win the grand prize. Anybody.
And $200 gives 5,000 meals. That's just incredible.
I mean, you can't even.
I know.
Anyway, it's all there at metaxastalk.com. I'll give a phone number while I'm talking to John later on in case anybody wants to make a phone call. But we need you to do something, and this is a way. I just think we feel good when we do good, and these are people really suffering. They need our help. So I'll leave it there, but go to metaxastalk.com and give as generously as you can, folks. They really need the help. We're going to bring in our friend John Zmierak, who is there with his Beagles someplace in the great state of Texas. John Zmierak, welcome back.
Thanks, Eric. Good to talk to you.
I want to talk to you about the shootings. I was opining earlier, I don't think you heard it, about my take on it, and I'm curious what you think. I think there's – I never want to have the kind of a program where I'm just processing the news of the day. That doesn't mean that I don't value those programs, but God hasn't called me to do a program like that. But something like this strikes me as rising to the level of having to do that. It's like 9/11 or something. People need to grieve. People need to process. This is something that is absolutely extraordinary and horrific. I think every person says, how is it possible for this to be happening so much? And, you know, is God trying to get our attention by allowing this kind of stuff to happen? What are we to make of it? And that's what I said. I said, what I make of it is that this is sheer evil, and we need to pray and repent and ask people to repent of their sins and call them to God, because I don't really see ultimately any solution. We're looking at evil right, you know, square in the eye, and that any discussion about mental health screenings or gun laws is ultimately secondary. It doesn't mean that it's not important, but I'm just curious of what you make of this, and you probably know far more details of what's been going on than I do.
Thanks, Eric. Well, of course, I think the spiritual aspect of it is the fundamental one, because we've got a society which tells people over and over again in every way that human life is a meaningless burp in the cosmos, that it's barely even a ripple in the great empty tub, the great tub full of water that happened to collect in this rain barrel by entirely by mistake, and each human being is maybe a mosquito larva flickering on the surface of this great barrel of stagnant rainwater that fell there by
accident.
Hey,
we get the picture. I'm getting suicidal over here. Cut it
I'm
out. Cut
itchy.
It out, will you?
I'm getting itchy.
Well, right.
No,
right,
you're
exactly.
Quite right. You're exactly right.
You tell people that in every class, you teach every science book, every episode of Neil deGrasse Tyson's Cosmos, every possible opportunity you tell them that. And then you say, but even though this is all a meaningless farrago of nonsense, you should respect the infinite dignity of your fellow human being and not offend them and not use the wrong pronoun and make sure to respect their heritage as a Pacific Islander or, you know, an Albanian refugee. Well, why? Why? The question is why?
John, it's amazing.
And there is no answer.
It's amazing you're saying this. I'm not kidding, because if I had more time to talk, I was rambling with Albin here before you came on in the previous segment, and that's precisely where I was going. In other words, when somebody fulminates against this, you have to ask them, okay, why? Tell me why this is evil. What do you mean when you say evil? What do you mean when you say this is a bad thing? We need to come again. We need to do something. Tell me why. Tell me why you, Mr. Atheist, say that this is so terrible. Go ahead. Tell me why.
And tell me in a way that will convince a 17-year-old, lonely, fatherless, maybe medicated, clinically depressed, or somehow, you know, psychologically disordered young man who's never had a moral code drilled into him, who's never experienced corporal punishment. I can't believe we're having a whole generation that's never been spanked. I think that can't end well. Who's never had faith in God or even reason drilled into his head. I want you to don't convince some 45-year-old suburban mom with three kids. No, you have to convince a 17-year-old morbid boy who doesn't necessarily have any hope of genuine earthly happiness, but what he wants to do is be remembered for something.
Yeah.
And there's an infamous story about this Greek who he knew he would never be remembered for accomplishing anything. So he wanted to be remembered for destroying something. So he set fire to the Temple of Artemis, one of the most magnificent artifacts, the wonders of the ancient world. He knew he'd be remembered, if for nothing else, than the guy who destroyed the most. just as Hitler, a failed architect, was responsible for the destruction of tens of thousands of exquisite historic buildings. He never built a thing that of any value, but boy, he sure tore down a lot. He'll never be forgotten. Hitler's a name. Hitler's name will never be forgotten. And if you're a 17-year-old weirdo, depressed kid who doesn't believe in God and never had a dad, that sounds like a way to write your name in red graffiti across the Mona Lisa of history.
Whoa. Well, I think you're right. And then you have to ask, why is that wrong? In other words, you know why it's wrong. I know why it's wrong. A lot of people listening know why it's wrong. But there are a lot of people out there that cannot articulate why that's wrong. And so they're living in what I guess Sartre called bad faith. They have two mutually exclusive ideas in their heads. When I wrote these tweets that I wrote on the subject, I don't normally say things that nakedly spiritual, but I thought this is sheer evil, and we need to understand there's a God in heaven and there's a devil in hell, and we need to understand that you cannot talk around that. There are times like this that are so horrifying, we have to simply reach out to God. There's really no other answer, and we have to think about the big questions. And somebody wrote a very angry post. Ironically, it's titled The Happy Atheist, or that's his thing. And this is the very issue. When we come back, folks, we're going to be talking more about the meaning of life and current events with John Zmierich. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. For so long now.
Talking to myself and feeling old.
Hey, folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show, talking to John Zmierich. And we're talking about the horrific events of this past weekend, these shootings, and the meaning of life. And, you know, John, people are now seizing. People often seize on political solutions. It's just like seizing on technological solutions. Like, if we can only get a laptop to every kid, we'll solve the problem of no education. If we can only get, you know, the proper technology, birth control pills and condoms, we'll solve the problem of unplanned pregnancies. And you realize that there's real foolishness in this, because at the end of the day, you're facing something that it's infinite evil. It's the wickedness of the human heart. It's a satanic abyss. And you're trying to fill the satanic abyss with, you know, little political solutions. It becomes absurd. I mean, right now people are talking about, oh, it's white nationalism, that's the issue. Well, wait a minute. What about all the other shootings that have nothing to do with white nationalism?
Dayton, Ohio? The shooter was a Satanist who supports Elizabeth Warren.
Actually, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's just come out. I mean, he's posting all over. Yeah, you know, he's posting Satanist memes. Support for Elizabeth Warren, attacks on the president. He praised the guy who attacked the ICE office. I mean, look, this
well,
is
actually,
going to
this
be politi-
is this is good. This is good though, because what it says is that you've got maniacs on both sides, and evil, as Solzhenitsyn said, that the line between good and evil goes right through every human heart, and so it goes through the hearts on the left and the hearts on the quote unquote right. I mean, the point is, you cannot come up with a political solution. And I guess let's be fair. The reason people do is because they're grasping at straws. They're desperate. They need an answer because it's too painful not to have an answer.
Yeah, but Eric, this is very, very dangerous. This is a very dangerous moment. I had an article I wrote a few years back that I hope people will look at the stream at stream.org. And it's a provocative title, but it's called Nazi Gun Control, Three Words That Go Together. And in it, I talk about a society not that different from ours, Weimar Germany, that was riven by political extremism. And there were mass shootings, and there were riots, and one political group was fighting it out with another in the streets. And you know what the good, moderate citizens of the mainstream political parties in Weimar Germany, you know what they could agree on? we need to ban guns. Well, we need to register every gun in Germany. Everybody who owns a gun needs to give us his name so that if we decide to collect them, we'll be able to in order to crack down on violent extremists.
It sounds perfectly logical,
yeah,
doesn't it?
You know what happened?
Yeah.
You know what actually happened?
What did happen?
All the law-abiding citizens did register their guns. You know who didn't?
Let me guess.
The Nazis and the communists.
The Nazis and the communists. Isn't that nice?
And then when the Nazis came to power, wow, they had a list of every person with a gun in Germany. So what did they do? First, they collected the guns from Jews. Then they collected them from members of labor unions, then from Catholics, then from socialists. And pretty soon they had an absolutely helpless populace. And once they had disarmed the Jews, they launched Kristallnacht and started smashing the synagogues and smashing the Jewish stores. And you had a totalitarian society overnight that no one could resist a tyrannical government. And who prepared for it? The nice, moderate liberals who wanted to stop gun violence.
Right. And again, we have to understand, I have to say, this is all perfectly understandable. I understand why people say these things. So I don't want to, before I mock them and laugh at them, I want to say, look, it's perfectly reasonable, except, folks, it's wrong and it doesn't work. The impulse makes sense, but we have to look at history, as you've just reminded us, John. This is not wise. But again, there are people willing to give up freedoms. I think part of the reason this is happening, two things, you touched on one of them. Unless you put forward a robust idea of the meaning of life, why I'm here, people are going to give in to these kinds of nihilistic desires. We saw it way back in Columbine. People who are looking to write their names in the book of history, they don't care if it is as a mass murderer. You see this over and over and over again because we have not been giving ourselves any cultural confidence. We've not said this is a great, it's a privilege to live, life is sacred, that on the one hand. And then quite related to it is this idea that we don't talk about freedom. We don't talk about what freedom is, so that when people talk about taking away your guns, nobody says, well, that would be bad, generally speaking, for freedom, because then we can be tyrannized by those who do have weapons. We don't talk about freedom, and people are all too happy to give it up.
That's right. And to me, the people who have civic courage in America today, after this horrible weekend, are the people warning against restrictions on free speech and warning against a gun grab by the government. Because you know what? In the century between 1914 and 2014, 179 million civilians were murdered by their governments. And in virtually every case, those civilians had been disarmed by those governments. A government with a monopoly of force and a disarmed populace is the most dangerous thing on the face of the earth.
It seems to me clear that that's the case. And, you know, when we talk about banning so-called assault type weapons and that kind of thing, it of course gets
propaganda.
It gets more complicated because it seems to make sense, but it is complicated. So tell us, why do you say it's propaganda?
An assault rifle is an invented word from the anti-gun lobby. It's not a real term. It's a rifle with a scope with a certain cosmetic feature. These are hunting rifles. They are used 99.99% of the time for target shooting.
I didn't know that.
For shooting deer.
John, we're going to a break. We're going to be right back talking about gun control and all this stuff with John Smirik. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Talking to John Smirak. The shootings this past weekend struck me as being a new level where you just have to stop and say, how can we make sense of this? For me, the only way I can make sense of it is to say we're a nation in need of God. Now, that might sound like a platitude or a bromide or a cliche, but I actually think that that is the truth that we are an empty culture. People are hungry. John, you were talking earlier about the proverbial 17-year-old young man who has nothing to live for. He's never been raised and being told that he's anything wonderful. You know, girls are wonderful. They've been they haven't really gotten a fair shake. So it's all about girls. If you're white, if you're young, you know, it's really we're living at a strange time and we're seeing people acting out like this. And I think common sense says that people need something to live for. People need a narrative of life that is entirely different from the Neil deGrasse Tyson version, which says that we are, you know, meaningless accidents that evolved via random mutations out of the primordial soup, and life has no meaning, but let's pretend it has meaning. Well, as we pretend that it has meaning, you know, here's something for you to do while you're pretending it has meaning. Pretend you can figure out why all of these people are shooting other people. You know, tell me.
And, you know, it was very telling. Tyson issued a tweet, and his response to these mass shootings was, to give him credit, he was consistent. He pointed out that these mass shootings were statistically insignificant compared to deaths by automobile or deaths by unsafe food conditions. And, you know, that is the Darwinian thing.
Yeah.
Everybody is just a statistic. But yeah. I want to tell you, Eric, what I think is spiritually going on here. America is one of the last bastions of freedom on the face of the earth. And Satan doesn't like that. He doesn't like people to be free and responsible and to have religious freedom.
You know, you broke up there, John. Just repeat that last phrase.
Satan doesn't like America. He doesn't like there being a country that's based on freedom and responsibility and a biblical view of man. He wants to destroy American freedom. And the one way to destroy American freedom is to disarm the populace and make us helpless sheep. So he sends his minions. He tries to tempt people, like tortured young men, and some of them are going to give into it, and they're going to do mass shootings. And every time, the enemies of freedom in America are going to try to take that freedom away under the guise of making us safe. So they want to take away everyone's hunting rifles by labeling them assault weapons in order to make us safe. That's not going to make us safe. It'll make us safe for a government that decided to crack down on us and close our churches and take away homeschoolers' kids and inject kids with transgender hormones. It's part of an agenda to dismantle our last ability to resist the social engineering of a left that hates Christianity and fundamentally hates America. And they never remember the leftist slogan, Rahm Emanuel, never let a crisis go to waste.
Yeah.
When these poor kids were bleeding out in El Paso and in Dayton, you know, the vultures of the gun grab lobby were salivating. They were excited. This is the best day of the year for them,
yeah,
because they might be able to take away Americans' freedom.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, John. It's so easy for us to how do I put it? No matter what you say on these subjects, it's going to upset somebody. But I think that when you see this level of violence erupting, it seems to me that most Americans who have common sense and who don't think, you know, in beltway platitudes and along beltway lines, they look at it and they say something's going on. They don't go to white supremacy and they don't go to gun laws. They say something deeper is going on. Why is this happening? It doesn't make sense. The only sense that I can make of it, the deeper sense, which you and I have been talking about, is that we're talking about a culture that has quite slowly lost its grasp on the larger reality, that we're creatures created in the image of a loving God, that we need God to sustain us. Solzhenitsyn spoke about this over and over and over again. When men have forgotten God, we are left to our own devices, and it is hideous. It really is a time in our country when I think turning to God, it can be the only answer. You have to, I mean, again, to say that if we do this, gun control, it's like, no. These are Band-Aids. I mean, you could give people all of these laws. It's going to do nothing.
It makes as much sense to say everyone should wear bulletproof vests all the time. Then they'd really be safe.
Yeah.
And if you don't favor that, if you don't favor a law that everyone has to wear bulletproof vests all the time, well, then you're you're on the side of the of the gunman.
That's
you don't care about human life because you don't want people. And you know what else? We should get rid of ordinary cars and replace them with bumper cars that don't go any faster than 25 miles an hour. That would save 50,000 lives a year.
Yeah.
Sure, you know, we couldn't get to work, but you know, maybe we don't need to live in such a consumerist capitalist society.
Right.
The attacks on freedom are diabolical. And they're tempting. Remember, whatever is popular among elites, whatever is trending on Twitter, that's where Screwtape is busy at work. And if you wanna stand against him, if you wanna be countercultural and stand with the gospel, you have to be critical and skeptical of whatever the popular narrative is, because that's what the principalities and powers are out there propounding.
I have to say, John, I agree. Absolutely, as usual with you, this is just one of those things that it seems so clear to me. And I guess, you know, for those people who are offended by the idea that God might allow horrible things to happen to get our attention, let's look at it another way. Let's say that he didn't allow it. Let's just say that it happened. Could it be wrong to turn to him during this time to repent? I mean, there's so many people listening to this program right now. They have to be, they're driving down the highway, wherever they are, and they have someone that they're not forgiving for something, or there's something they need to do that they're not doing. I want to say to those people, if you want to live in a society where stuff like this doesn't happen, here's what you can do. Do the right thing. Turn away from your own sin. Repent from your sin today, now. Repent from your sin and ask God to forgive you and to lead you. When we come back, we'll keep talking to John Zmirak about these events. Folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show.
Just yesterday morning, they let me know you were gone. Suzanne, the plans they made put an end to.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. We've got a few minutes left with John Zmirak, but we will continue with him into hour two today for the first segment because there is just so much to talk about here. So I hope folks can hang on for hour two. And if you can't hang on for hour two, you can go to MetaxasTalk.com and you can listen to hour two there anytime, or we have a free app you can get on your phone, Eric Metaxas Show, and you can listen to both hours for free anytime you like in case your radio station doesn't carry it. John, I want to ask you about Google and China. Maybe we can do that in the next segment because this has been something that's been on my mind. I want to get your thoughts. But
all right, Eric, but you were talking about what we can each individually do. And I think one of the most important things we can do is to pray for the families of the dead.
Yeah.
And as a Catholic, pray for the souls of the dead. And even pray for the murderers who were killed. Pray for everyone. And I think it's really telling that there are people out there mocking that idea. Who but a demon would incur, who but Satan would mock people for praying?
Yeah.
And yet they're out there with these cynical, sneering voices. Oh, yeah. Thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers, they say in this sneering, cynical voice.
Yeah.
That is from the pit of hell.
There's
just
no question.
As much as the shooter, it's from the same spiritual source.
I know, and a lot of these people, of course, they have no idea. They don't even believe in that spiritual source. But the reality is that what would be better, what would be more amazing than if all of these evils, I mean, if you know, it's kind of like spiritual jiu-jitsu. You want to get the devil back? How about if this country turned to God, if these horrors drove us to our knees and to cry out to God? And when I say cry out to God, I mean, there are people, again, listening. They have secret sins in their lives. They have things that they have not done that they need to do today. They have things that they've done that they need to repent of, whether they need to see a priest or minister or just right there where they are to cry out to Jesus. Because that is the way you combat evil. We're talking about evil. We're talking about satanic evil. This is not a concept. This is a reality. And I think every one of us plays a role. And that's, you know, that's a pretty tough thing for people to fathom, that somehow you play a role in this, that you, what you do, what you personally do affects everything. And I really think if people were to confess and repent, that's something you can do today. You can do that today. I said earlier, you know, doing something good. If you don't have something you feel like you need to repent of right now, you can do something good. I mentioned we're doing this campaign with Food for the Poor. It doesn't have to be that, but do something good as a way of warring against this evil. This is a spiritual battle. I'm not ashamed to say it. I don't think it could be clearer. Before we go to our break here in an hour or two, we're going to continue with John Smirek. But I want to say, folks, that we have – go to MetaxasTalk.com. I'll give you the phone number as well. But there'll be the list of – we've got a big grand prize for people who can give. There's a tremendous crisis in Central America. Families are suffering. God wants us to help them. If you feel led to do that, if that's a way that you can do something good today, please go ahead and do it. The website is MetaxasTalk.com. Everything will be there. But you can also call 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE. Again, it's 844-863-HOPE. When we come back in hour two, more with John Smirek. Thanks for listening.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.